This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Homes.com knows that when it comes to home shopping, it's never just about the house or condo. It's about the home. And what makes a home is more than just the house or property. It's the location and neighborhood. If you have kids, it's also schools, nearby parks, and transportation options. That's why Homes.com goes above and beyond to bring home shoppers the in-depth information they need to find the right home. And when I say in-depth, I'm talking deep.
Each listing features comprehensive information about the neighborhood, complete with a video guide. They also have details about local schools with test scores, state rankings, and student-to-teacher ratio. They even have an agent directory with the sales history of each agent. So when it comes to finding a home, not just a house, this is everything you need to know all in one place. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hello and welcome to Happier, a podcast that gives you strategies and tips for how to build happier habits into your daily life. This week, we'll talk about some bonus ideas for, you guessed it, creating outer order, and we'll talk about an easy way to make it more fun to wake up in the morning. I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, outer order, the four tendencies, and human nature. I'm in New York City, and with me by the miracle of technology is my sister, Elizabeth Kraft.
That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA. And Gretchen, I am also the sister of a New York Times best-selling author.
Yes.
That would be you.
Yes. Yes, outer order, inner calm is number three on the New York Times bestseller list, which is so thrilling and
yay! Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you to all the listeners who have been coming to book events and who pre-ordered and who've been reviewing it on Amazon and Goodreads and everywhere. It's been so great to have so much enthusiasm and support. So thank you, everyone. It really is. It's a huge milestone as a writer. And speaking of milestones, Elizabeth, we're in this peculiar situation because we're recording this episode a little bit early because of my book tour. And so we're recording this a few days before the premiere of The Fix, but when this episode airs, the show will have hit the airwaves, March 18th, 10 p.m., so it's so exciting. It's out in the world, but at this point, we haven't seen it. Yes. So.
Yes, I know. It's like we're in the future.
And Elizabeth, very appropriately, given that we have all this happy news in our own lives, today is the International Day of Happiness, which is a fun thing to celebrate.
Yes. So, Gretch, let's celebrate a minor holiday, as you say, the International Day of Happiness. Also, I'm happy because, Gretch, we are going to do live shows this spring. Yep. Happier is going on the road.
Yes, we're so excited. So we have our first show is in New York City. That already went on sale and it sold out very, very fast. So that's exciting. That show sold out. And we are going to Detroit, Milwaukee, and Minneapolis. And tickets for those shows go on sale today, March 20th. So if you do want to come, go ahead and buy your ticket because the New York City show did sell out very quickly.
Yes. And our show is called Happier Hour, an evening with Gretchen and Elizabeth. And I will read the description, Gretch.
Yay.
Calling all upholders, questioners, obligers, and rebels. Gretchen and Elizabeth are taking their show on the road. See the sisters' disembodied voices take human form live on stage in Happier Hour, an evening with Gretchen and Elizabeth. You'll participate in a real time. Try this right now. Enlighten fellow happier listeners in an audience happiness hack lightning round and find out if Gretchen is actually learning to play the ukulele, number 7 on her 19 for 2019 list. Because the event won't be televised, Gretchen and Elizabeth will even share embarrassing pictures from the European trip that turned them from just sisters into actual best friends. Remember, the things that go wrong often make the best memories.
Yes. So we can't wait to meet a lot of listeners live and in person. Yes. So come if you can. Now, Elizabeth, this week our Try This at Home tip is on the subject of clutter clearing and creating outer order, which is the current thing that's on my mind all the time. These are tips that didn't make it into the book, Outer Order, Inner Calm.
And why didn't they make it into the book, Gretch?
So this is the thing. I keep thinking about this and talking to people and going over to people's houses and helping them clear their clutter. And I keep thinking of more and more things, which is very annoying. It's very annoying to have an idea that I would love to have included in the book when it's too late. So I'm going to get them out in the world here since I didn't get them into the book.
I think you're going to have to write a sequel.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I would love to do that. So here's one that I think is hilarious. And I had seen it before, but I saw a very vivid example of it recently. And this is to beware of the frenzy of the clear. So divers, deep sea divers, can experience the danger rapture of the deep, where they stay down too long. And I've seen people experience the frenzy of the clear. And this is when we get so intoxicated by the joy of relinquishment and like seeing all this space open up that they just start tossing or giving away just about everything. And I was helping a friend clear clutter the other day, and he threw away an unopened package of padded mailer envelopes. Which is like, I was like, this is not even open. Why are you throwing this away? And he said, oh, those things never work. I was like, what are you talking about? These things always work. It's an envelope.
Did him to put it back?
Yeah. No, well, I took it. I was like, if you don't want it, I'll take it. Because I use them all the time to mail out books. So I was like, well, I can use this. So I took it home. I know. But now sometimes the frenzy can be helpful because it does make it very, very easy to let things go because you're just sort of so swept up into it. But I do think that if you have too much frenzy, you could make mistakes. You could end up regretting things. You could just be wasteful, like, you know, just like getting rid of so much stuff. So I think it's, again, it's important to stay mindful. Like you really want to get rid of everything you don't need, use, or love, but you want to make sure that you really are asking yourself that question.
Well, I have to say, I've never had the problem of the frenzy of the clear. I wish I did sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gretchen, it's the fine line between being mindful and mindless and then too mindful. So it's a tightrope, this clutter clearing.
It is. Got to watch out both ways. Now, here's another thing that I wish that I had gone into more in the book. So if you're the person who's annoyed by someone else's clutter, and so you're the one who's the neat one, you know, a lot of times there's like the neat one and the messy one, the Felix and the Oscar, and you're very annoyed by someone else's clutter, you should ask yourself, and I've asked myself this, have I worked to clear my own clutter? Have I truly achieved outer order with my own possessions in what I can control myself?
Ah, this is like physician, heal thyself.
Yeah, yes. No, because often there's so many things going on here. One is often my clutter feels different from your clutter. So like I might have a huge project out on the dining room table for a month, which I think is fine, but you leave crumbs on the kitchen counter. And I think like, oh my gosh, we, you know, how can we live like this? And also you sort of become inured to your own clutter. And so by clearing your own clutter, you bring down the kind of the volume, you create more outer order, which then I think builds up your bandwidth for tolerating other people's clutter because you have more order in your own sphere. And so often you can change the atmosphere of the environment just by handling what is totally within your own control.
Yeah, I'm surprised this one didn't make it into the book, Gretchen, because this seems kind of like a true rule.
No, I mean, these are deep issues. And I sort of keep uncovering more and more things that I want to pursue. And I think that's a really important one, which is just always begin by doing what is within your own power to do. Yes. And then it often will change the way you feel about a situation generally.
Gretchen, I know another thing that you have discovered in your clutter journey is that if you're trying to nudge yourself or others to clear a space, think about what other use you can make of it. And I'm sort of dealing with that.
Oh, because with your office.
Yes.
Yeah, because no, this is very helpful. And this is also especially helpful for rebels. I think it's helpful for all the tendencies, but especially for rebels, because if you have a space where it's kind of becoming a junk room or everything's sort of being dumped in there, if you think to yourself, well, could this space become a music room? Could it be a yoga room or a meditation room? Could I make a little reading nook out of it? For a lot of people, it's more satisfying to be thinking about getting something than relinquishing or coping with something. So instead of saying like, oh, let's clear out the junk room just to get rid of the junk, it's like, oh, let's clear out the junk room so we can have a music room. For a lot of people, that feels more appealing.
Yeah. And like with my home office, I want to clear out the clutter so that I can make room to store my entertaining items. I'm trying to entertain more. I want to have nice placemats and vases and things like that. But I really don't have room for all that in my kitchen. And so I want to clear out my office so that it can be the place where I keep that stuff and have easy access to it.
Right. And that just feels more purposeful and also just like more fun to get something than to just be like, okay, now I need to go through all of these like old cables and figure out what I need.
That's exactly. Just,
you know. Now here's something, I don't really have an answer for this, but I realize it's a kind of clutter that really haunts me. And I think for a lot of people, it's a problem. And this is when, you know, when we get something often from a store where they're of a quality that's too good for their purpose. Like a store gives you something in a box that's a really, really sturdy box. Mm-hmm. Or like you're getting a pair of shoes and it has really, really nice shoe bags, which I never use. Mm-hmm. Or you get like a shopping bag that's not really quite a tote bag, but it's like better than just like a regular shopping bag. And then it's sort of like, what do you do? And I never know what to do with these things because if I can't use them, they're just clutter and I should give them away, recycle or toss them. But they kind of go into the zone when you're like, well, should I hang on to this box? Because I don't really have a use for this box, but it's not just like some nasty box. It's like, it's really, really good. And it's sort of annoying to me because it feels wasteful to have made something too good for its purpose, which is basically just like a temporary purpose.
Yeah, Gretch, I literally right now I'm looking at a box that falls under this category. A friend of mine gave me a t-shirt for Christmas in a really nice Christmas gift box.
Yeah.
So I can only use it at Christmas. You know, it wouldn't be appropriate to put a gift in it now.
Yeah.
But like, where do I keep it so that I feel like I just need to have it out so that I remember it exists? Because if I put it away in December, am I going to remember that gift box? But it's way too nice to get rid of.
Right.
So it's like in limbo while I try to figure out where to put it.
Right. Well, and you don't want to have it out, you know, from March until December, you know, and then you'll miss your window inevitably.
Which is the path we're on now.
Okay, I'm coming to LA. We're going to deal with this. Okay. Well, and then there's the problem of like when things are in a holding pattern. And I found this in my own closet recently where, you know, sometimes you just wear things so much that you just get sick to death of them. So mom, our mother, lent me this kind of blue striped jersey summer shirt. And I wore it a ton. I wore it a ton for a couple of years. And then I just got sick of it. I'm like, I never want to wear that thing again. Mm. And last summer, I realized now looking back, I didn't wear it at all because I was so tired of it. But it was still in my closet because I was like, well, should I give it back to mom? Does she want it back? Because she sort of lent it to me. Or should I just give it away because she's sick of it too? And I just kept it for months and months and months because I just, in my mind, didn't know what to do. And then finally, I thought, why don't I just ask her? So I emailed her a picture. I was like, do you want this back or should I give it away? And she said, bring it back and I'll figure it out. So now I know what to do with it, you know?
So you handed it off to her for it to be in limbo.
Well, she'll have to figure out what to do with it. But if she'd said, hey, I don't want it back, then I could have just given it away. I mean, I went through this with a friend who was going through her closet and she's like, well, my sister's pregnant. Maybe she'll want this. She could wear this like as part of that. And then we had this big pile and I'm like, why don't you just text your sister right now and say, do you want some of my clothes as maternity clothes or not? Because you're creating this whole limbo pile because you don't know what your sister wants.
Yes. Ask the person.
Yes. Yeah.
I had this scratch, a similar thing with some sweaters I had. They didn't fit me and I didn't know, should I keep these? Should I give them to mom? I just wasn't sure what I should do. So they sat in a drawer for like 7 years. At which point no one wanted them, you know, 7 years later. But Gretch, speaking of holding patterns, another thing you've taught me is that if something doesn't fit or it needs repair, give yourself a timeline and do it.
Yeah.
So don't just say, oh, I'll get those shoes fixed, you know, someday in, you know, 2030. You got to do it now.
Right. And if you're like, okay, I'm going to give myself a deadline in 3 weeks and then you can't be bothered to do it in the next 3 weeks, probably you don't really care. And probably you've already had that thing for months or years anyway, you know? Mm-hmm. This seems to be a particular problem with jewelry. People often talk about needing to get jewelry repaired. It's like, give yourself a timeline and just do it, or then don't do it at all.
Yeah, I know why that's a problem, by the way.
Oh.
I think people, if they have nice jewelry, worry if they leave it somewhere, will something happen to it? And so they feel hesitant to part with it. So then, but it's doing you no good being broken in your jewelry box.
Right.
So it's a conundrum.
Yes. But speaking of fixing things, one thing to watch out for is paying to get something fixed that you don't even like. I've made this mistake.
That with a pair of shoes.
Yeah. Well, it's like, oh, you know, you want to sort of console yourself from the fact, like, I'll console myself from the fact that I like made a mistake in purchasing something, and I'll make an excuse to myself. Like, the reason I don't wear these pants is because they're just like a little too long. They don't look right. And so then I go get them hemmed. But then I paid good money to get them hemmed. And then I'm like, eh, you know what? I just don't like these pants. So it's like, I just dug myself in deeper.
So be honest with yourself.
Yes, 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 yes.
Now, Gretch, one idea I know you believe, but you don't talk about in the book, is that it's okay to get rid of books.
Yes. I think you really have to ask yourself, what is your philosophy for what books you're going to keep and what books you're going to give away, and really be relentless. Because, like, I reread a lot, so I would keep books that I would reread. You don't really like to reread.
Right.
So, you know, maybe there are books that you can get rid of. Or if they're related to, like, if you're like, oh, I want to keep all the books I read in college, maybe you could just pick one book that sort of stands for everything I read in college, and then you can get rid of the other ones. We had like giant shelves of all of our law school case books, and then we got it down to like 5 case books, and now we have Black's Law Dictionary, and I'm like, that's all we need from law school. You can open up a lot of space in your shelves if you're really... Now, I have huge amounts of books. I'm a big believer in having a lot of books, but you want to have the books that you want, and not just like a lot of books that have been sitting on the shelf and no one's paid any attention to them for decades.
Yes, and I am taking this to heart, Gretch, and I've been doing bags of books. So I'm following this.
Excellent. You're making a lot of clutter-clearing strides.
I'm trying, which reminds me, Gretch, I had a minor clutter victory.
Ooh.
It wasn't even a clutter-clearing victory. It was actually a pre-clutter victory.
Ooh, that's even better.
So here's what happened. Jack was in the Spanish play at school. Every year, the third graders do a Spanish play, and it's, of course, the most adorable thing, and they all work so hard, and they did an amazing job. And, of course, we videotaped his part of the play.
Yeah.
Well, at the same time, you know, there's an official DVD of the play. And so several emails went out. If you want this DVD, fill out the form. It's, you know, $25 or whatever. And I was about to sort of automatically fill out the form. Like, of course we want a DVD of the Spanish play. But then I said to Adam, it just occurred to me, do we really want a DVD of the Spanish play? Are we really ever going to sit down and watch an hour-long Spanish play? By the way, neither of us speak Spanish.
Yeah.
And we have parts of it videotaped anyway. And Adam was like, you know, I don't think we need that.
Yeah.
And so we did not get the DVD. It went against all of our parent instincts to want to hoard every little bit of evidence of everything Jack does. But we realized we're just never going to sit down and watch this again.
Right.
And so I felt such a victory that I did not bring another DVD into my house.
Well done. Keep it out of the house to begin with.
You're rubbing off on me, Greg.
That's right. That's right. Well, let us know if you do try these ideas at home and what clutter-clearing ideas work for you. Let us know on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Drop us an email at podcast@gretchenrubin.com or go to happiercast.com/213 for everything related to this episode.
Coming up, we've got a happiness hack that makes waking up more pleasant. But first, this break.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and free. And, you know, Elizabeth, I now work with a team And hiring the right people is so important. It's maybe the most important thing. And LinkedIn makes the process of identifying and hiring people easy and intuitive. I know that when I've been hiring for my team, it's hard to find quality candidates to interview. And LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn.
Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe without spending a fortune, and luckily I found Quince. Elizabeth, I got the flow knit wide leg pant. It's very light. It's perfect for the summer. It packs very easily. I recently went on a trip with my family and I took it with me, and they were just the thing to wear on a really hot day where I wanted to be covered up, but I wanted something that looked great and also was very comfortable.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Gretchen for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Gretchen to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Gretchen.
Elizabeth, I love this happiness hack because I think getting up in the morning is a big happiness stumbling block for a lot of people.
Yes. Yes, this comes from Kelly. She says, I just learned you can change the alarm on your iPhone to any song. I'm now waking up to the theme song to the Mary Tyler Moore Show. It's like a happiness soundtrack to my morning. You're gonna make it after all. That's my singing.
Ooh, good. That was better than I would have thought, Elizabeth.
And note, Gretch, the song does have to be from your Apple playlist.
Oh, I love this idea.
And, you know, Gretch, Adam has been doing this for ages.
Oh, yeah.
His alarm, every morning it goes off. It's the song Help Me Out by Maroon 5.
Ooh, nice.
So that goes off at 6:45 every day.
Uh-huh. And how about you? Do you have one?
You know, I don't. That's just too advanced for me. But I will say my ringtone was written by our composer for The Fix, Greg Trippi. It's called Ripples.
Ooh, that's fun.
Yeah, so I have a personal, well, it's not personal, it's one of the Apple ringtones. So if you want Greg Trippi's ringtone, it's Ripples.
I had never done this before, so I just did it after we heard about this hack. So I picked the song 81 by Joanna Newsom as my alarm sound in the morning. So it is, it's really fun to kind of personalize it, switch it up if you want to. And so that's a great hack.
Yes, thank you, Kelly.
And now for a know yourself better question. And this is a question where I clearly answer it no. And that is the question of, do you have dog sense? Like, do you have an extra sense of what's going on more than the average person? Like, my husband, Jamie, definitely has dog sense. And my friend, Cheryl, also really has dog sense.
Well, Gretch, I think I have this. I call it my sixth sense.
Ah.
And I always say to Sarah, you know, I have a sixth sense.
Yeah.
I think I've talked about it on the podcast. What I notice is it's usually about dynamics, like at work, someone's upset, even though no one else can tell they're upset. And so I'll say, oh, so-and-so is upset because of this reason. And I think they're going to do X, Y, or Z. So it's like, I feel like I know the future, but it's really because I pick up on little personal things.
And do you think you have it more than other people? Like you'll say things
yes.
And people are like, what are you talking about? And then it'll be proved to be true.
All the time, yes.
See, that's interesting because with Jamie often has dog sense that someone's untrustworthy. And he'll be like, I just don't like that person or that person's untrustworthy. And I'll be like, what are you talking about? They seem totally fine to me. And then like 2 years, 5 years, like he's often proven right in this kind of very deep way. And again, it's like a dog sense because it's like, where are you getting this? I don't see it. I don't hear it. And yet you're picking up something.
Yes, I have that too. There have been times where I've said to Sarah, so-and-so is not trustworthy. And she'll be like, really? And then it'll come to pass.
The only time when I've ever had, I feel like, an insight like this is, it's related to this idea. There is this trick, if you don't have dog sense, that if you want to know what someone is likely to do or what they do secretly, you can say to them, what do you think most people do? Because people will usually answer from their own experience. So if you say, do you think most people get along with their in-laws? Do you think most people cheat on their taxes? Do you think most people swear in front of their children? Even though they might not say they do it themselves, they might not admit to that, they will say what they think most people do. So this is sort of like a runaround way for people who do not have dog sense. And I used this one time kind of accidentally because it was right when the Tiger Woods scandal was breaking and the whole thing between him and his wife. And for some reason, I forget even why I was there, but I was somewhere with a bunch of people I didn't know well, and it was happening on TV. So we were all watching it and kind of talking amongst ourselves about it. And one guy said out loud to the group, he said, gosh, if he's behaving like this way, how must he think about his wife? And this other guy answered, I bet he thinks very differently about his wife. And I thought, I bet that guy's having an affair.
Oh, interesting.
Because the way he was answering about Tiger Woods, I'm like, this is telling me about you. But I was like, I never have this kind of insight. I never feel like I'm reading between the lines. And so I'm like, woo, this is the one time I can remember kind of what it's like to have dog sense. So do you feel it happening? Like, ooh, there's like something electric in the air. I feel something unspoken that they may not even realize they're communicating.
For sure. Yes. And I won't say it's 100% of the time, but especially if I'm paying attention, absolutely. Yes.
I think the thing about asking the self about to know yourself better is, it seems to me that it's really worth taking it seriously, not dismissing it. And if you have it, realize that you are somehow picking up on these things that are very subtle. Or if you know someone who has it, take it seriously. Like over time, I've learned there are certain people who just are really good at this. And so don't dismiss it.
Yeah. Like if Jamie doesn't trust someone, you should listen and not go into business with that person.
Right. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm very curious to hear, do you think you have dog sense? I wonder what our listeners will say. Let us know if you have dog sense and how it might have come up. I'm curious to see like how this comes up in people's lives.
Yeah. I wonder how common this is, Gretch.
Yeah.
I think probably a lot of people have dog sense.
Interesting.
And everybody else wishes they
did. That's for sure.
Coming up, Gretchen gives herself a demerit that I think she's given herself before. But first, this break.
The national sales event is on at your Toyota dealer, making now the perfect time to get a great deal on a dependable new car.
Like a legendary Camry, built for performance and available with all-wheel drive, you can count on your new Camry to get anywhere you need to go. And with available features like heated seats and a multimedia touchscreen, you can stay connected in comfort and style.
Or check out an affordable and reliable Corolla with a trim for every lifestyle, from the hip and agile sedan to the sporty hatchback. There's a dependable Corolla built just for you.
Plus, both Camrys and Corollas are available in hybrid models, so no matter your style, you can drive efficiently and affordably.
So, visit your local Toyota dealer and check out amazing national sales event deals on Camrys, Corollas, and more when you visit buyatoyota.com.
Toyota, let's go places.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As your kids get older, some things about parenting get easier. They can dress themselves. They can clean up after themselves, allegedly. Other things don't, like having conversations about money. The fact is, kids won't really know how to manage their money unless they're actually in charge of it. That's where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills.
Yeah, Jack has Greenlight. And one thing I love is that it includes a chores feature where you can set up one-time or recurring chores and reward kids with allowance for a job well done. Gretchen, we used to mow the lawn. How much more motivated would we have been if we'd had funds deposited when we completed that chore?
Mm-hmm.
Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/happier. That's greenlight.com/happier to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/happier. Okay, Gretchen, it is time for demerits and gold stars. You are up this week with a happiness demerit.
Yes.
What happened?
Yeah. So this is a demerit that's very much in line with demerits that I've given myself before. And this is just something that I need to work on. So to set the scene, it was my first book event for the new book. And the first book event is always particularly nerve-wracking for me because I give my whole talk from memory. And after I've done it one or two times, I know it super well. But the first time I'm always like, oh my gosh, what if I just blank out? Or like I accidentally skip over like the whole middle part and the whole thing's only 7 minutes long. So I'm tense. And I was at this event and a couple of things had been, they didn't go wrong, but they were like glitches that kind of had me a little bit uneasy. And I ran into a friend. And that was part of it. It's like I was in a place where people could see me. Sometimes when I'm in a, I don't run into anybody, but I was sort of out. And so I ran into a friend, my friend Marcy, and she was super friendly. And I was basically like, I can't talk to you. I can't deal with this. Like, whatever, and ran away. And this is just like, this happened to me when I was getting on the train with Eliza and we had all our bags and we were trying to get on. And I'm like, I just can't talk to you. I'm sorry. And I feel like I'm a grown up. I should be able to like, you know, pat my stomach and rub my head at the same time and be friendly, even though I'm kind of, because in the moment, it wasn't like anything was happening at that moment. I was just feeling distracted and uneasy. And it just felt like it took too much bandwidth. But I can manage that. I need to really identify this and say, you know, stay calm. Maybe this is where being an obliger is an advantage. Because like, I feel like you would be able to muster the goodwill and the warmth and just saying like, okay, I need to put myself and my own uneasiness aside and focus on this person. Where in a way that I think I need to do a much better job of that.
Well, I have to say, Gretchen, I think you're being too hard on yourself, though. I think people understand that prior to a speaking event, you might need to, like, get in the zone.
Oh, well, that's...
In a way, I think this is where you're expecting too much of yourself, and you're too much of an upholder. I mean, I think people get it.
Okay. Well, she was very, very nice about it, because I emailed her the next day. But it's sort of a good thing to think about.
I think it's more for you, just what's your tone and exiting the conversation.
Yes. I think I
like,
was brusque.
I think maybe you snap and that's why you feel bad. Whereas what you want to do is just be like, hey, listen, I'm really trying to get in the zone. Let me talk to you after.
Yeah.
In a warm way.
Yeah.
All right, Gretch, I want to give a big gold star to the Fix marketing team.
Ooh, yes.
So when a show comes out, of course, there are ads. If you're lucky, we're lucky because we've had lots of ads for The Fix.
Yes.
You know, how good these ads are really, really matters. This is how the public is getting to know your show. And The Fix marketing team, and there's a whole bunch of them, so I can't list everyone's name, but they know who they are, did a fantastic job of really bringing their A game to the Fix ads, because you could just put a couple of clips together and say, hey, here's the Fix, but they really took it to the next level. I thought the ads, now granted I'm biased, but others agree, the ads were just really compelling, really dynamic, really got your attention. I think it was a huge help. And of course we appreciated it so much because this is our project we've been working on for a long time. So thank you to everyone at ABC Marketing for just making a fantastic ad campaign for The Fix.
Well, it's interesting. Like, there must be such an art to it, because I mean, we watched the ad during the Oscars, for example, was such a great ad. And you think, like, in such a small amount of time, they created a mood, sort of built a world, created this tremendous sense of suspense where you're like, I want to know what's happening. Like, how did they get here? What's going to happen next? And you're like, how did they do that in such a short amount of time? You know, it's like, it must be so... Sometimes it's a lot harder sometimes to do something very short than to have more time. And very masterful.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well.
And by the way, if people want to see some of these ads, if you scroll through my Instagram feed at Liz Craft, I have a lot of them on Instagram.
Yes. And that is it for this episode of Happier. Remember to try this at home. Keep trying all these clutter clearing ideas. We can't get enough of them. Let us know what you tried and what worked for you.
Thank you to our executive producer, Chuck Reed. Also, thanks to our engineer, Bob Tabador, and everyone at Cadence 13. Get in touch. Gretchen's on Twitter at Gretchen Rubin, and I'm at Elizabeth Kraft. Our email address is podcast@GretchenRubin.com.
If you like the show, be sure to tell a friend and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcasting app. Thanks to the wonderful people who ordered 5 or more copies of Outer Order, Inner Calm. I have many names this week, which is wonderful. Angie Schuest, Meredy Copeland, Melissa Thompson, Elizabeth Cottrell, Beth Duckett, Leslie Clavey, Rebecca Frederick, Shelley Friend, Gail Wilson, Brett Hudasek, Nicole Havelberg, Malia and Jill from the Semi Together podcast, Kelly Wall, and Melissa Mathis. So thank you for beer enthusiasm. That's amazing. And here's another thing. We say please rate and review us, and it's the same thing about a book. If you review the book on Amazon, Goodreads, Apple Books, or, you know, wherever you give online reviews, it really helps other readers to find a book. I know that I look at reviews, regular reader reviews, to help me decide to buy a book. And so that's a huge help if you do that.
And Gretch, there's a new resource. Due to popular demand, you created a PDF that includes all the happiness hacks from every episode. People can download it for free at GretchenRubin.com/resources. And I know you're going to update that a few times a year.
Yes. Not every week, but a few times a year. And also, if you enjoy the Happier Podcast, you can read my new book, Outer Order, Inner Calm, which is all about additional steps for how to create a more serene, orderly environment. You can get it right now on Apple Books at apple.co/GretchenRubin.
Gretch, by the way, I found my watch.
Oh, the one you lost when we were together?
Yes, it was, you'll appreciate this. It was in my suitcase, which I didn't unpack for over a week. And it had fallen into like the crevice in my suitcase. So once I unpacked it, I did find it. So, clutter clearing lesson.
Virtue rewarded.
Yes.
Well, what a relief.
Yes.
From the Onward Project.
I don't know about you, but I'm always looking for ways for my son to get involved and give back in our local community. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Student Visionaries of the Year, a campaign by Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, the largest nonprofit organization dedicated to creating a world without blood cancers.
Student Visionaries of the Year is a 7-week philanthropic leadership development program for high school students. Participants form strong teams and fundraise in honor of a pediatric blood cancer survivor in their local community. This program is transformative. It not only helps students develop valuable life skills like project management, communication, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship, not to mention it looks great on college applications, but most importantly, is also a chance for them to engage in meaningful work within their community and make a real impact on blood cancer patients and their families. You can learn more about Student Visionaries of the Year or even nominate a student at lls.org/students. That's lls.org/students.